Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, I'm reading all these stories about the terrible shape the Republican Party is in as a result of the great debt crisis and the government shutdown. Is that true?
Well, I'll tell you, I don't think that either party came out looking good from that episode. And look, we need to be focused on service. Service should be front and center for everything that we do. And I couldn't tell you, I couldn't express to you how frustrated I am with the leadership in both parties. This should never have happened. You know, we have servicemen and women over in Afghanistan. They're fighting on our behalf. They don't ask for much. But there's an expectation that we give them our best effort. Our best effort, at the least, includes a functioning government. And, you know, we've actually been through all this conversation before. And I'm not talking about 1995, 96. I'm talking about 1786 and 1787. You know, after the War of Independence, we had the Articles of Confederation. And we had liberty. And we had chaos. We had states that were coining money. We had states that were putting tariffs up on other states. We had states that were entering into treaty obligations with other countries. Our leaders got together, and they saw the challenges that we were having. And we, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, we brought forward the Constitution. And that provided a choice. We had a choice. And when we ratified the Constitution, we made a decision. We said we didn't want no government. We wanted limited and effective government. This government should never shut down. We need to honor that decision, which is that we are for limited and effective government. And, you know, I look at leadership on both sides, and I can tell you this, that this should never have happened. You know, we had a president and a Senate majority leader who said for months, repeatedly, they said they would not negotiate. Now, that's an untenable position in America. Even in a period of united partisan government, we still negotiate, and the history will show that. Certainly, in an era of divided government, we need to work together. Now, in the end, they did negotiate. From the time we started negotiating, it took like 3 days to get an agreement. We should have been negotiating in September. We would have had an agreement before the lapse of appropriations. You know, so I certainly see an issue there saying you won't negotiate, but I also see a problem in my own party. There's got to be a reasonability in terms of that negotiation and what we enact. So, you know, on the 20th
party, for everybody's the few who don't know, is the Republican Party.
Yeah. So on the 29th of September, just to illustrate this point, you know, my party brought forward a continuing resolution on the 29th of September that would have delayed the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known as Obamacare, for a year. Now, look, I think that's really the policy that we should have. I was concerned about the way this thing was going to roll out. There's so many issues with regard to this law as it related to implementation. But on the 29th of September, that was not a reasonable ask. I was one of two Republicans to vote no on the 29th of September. So now when this came back on the 30th of September, to my surprise, we had a reasonable continuing resolution. That resolution was the Senate CR with two provisions.
CR, continuing resolution.
Continuing resolution. It was the Senate CR with two provisions. One had to do with Congress's own health care. My issue there is that we were doing a fix to the Affordable Care Act for Congress before the American people got a fix. And I don't think that's right. We should lead by example. There are so many other folks that are having issues. Let me give you one illustration, the military. If you are a child of military family and you're age 23, 24, 25, or 26, you can't stay on your parents' plan. And when I mention that to folks, they go, no, you can because of the new law, except for they can't, because those children fall under TRICARE. TRICARE being a benefit trumps the Affordable Care Act, and so they don't
and
get—
And TRICARE is what, Chris?
This is the health care insurance for children that are under or are military dependents. So, you know, the issue is this, is clearly that's an error in the law. I don't think anybody intended for military children to not have coverage. But the fact is, they don't have coverage. They have to pay $200 a month per child instead of being under their parents' plan. So my point to you is this. A lot of these families who I know from my 29 years in service, 24 years in the Reg Army, I can't look them in the eye and say, you know, Congress should have their fix first, you know, with regard to the glitch in the law. as it relates to military families. That's just one example. So that's one thing that there was two provisions in this 30 September CR. One was Congress doesn't get a fix before the American people. The second one is that the American people shouldn't be taxed in calendar year 2014, given the if they choose not to select a plan, because the president had already given exemption from that tax to big business. Why are we going to have two standards, one for big business, one for the American people? Now, this CR was so reasonable that even in a hyper-partisan environment where leadership on both sides were breaking arms to get people to vote party lines, nine Democrats voted with that CR. Nine, that, including two from New York, Sean Patrick Maloney and Dan Maffei, voted for that resolution. That resolution should have been adopted that night. The president should have signed it. You wouldn't have had a shutdown.
You're a moderate Republican, I think it's fair to say. Would you accept that or not?
I've always said I'm a pragmatist. Yeah, you know, okay. And that is, I'm looking to bring people together to solve problems.
Okay, so if that's the case, now you got Boehner, who I think is probably more of your stripe, Chris, than the guys who are behind Boehner, Cantor, and Ryan. Now, that leaves you, I mean, you say your folks were weak, but if Boehner leaves, you're really stuck with the guys who really are the Tea Party favorites. There's a question in there somewhere, Chris.
Well, look, I mean, I think that what we need to do is move forward for the balance of this year and in next year to solve problems. And that means last week we passed a water bill. That water bill actually passed 417-3, and that's going to be helpful to us in upstate New York, including for preventing future disasters, flood work in our country. It's going to be good for upstate New York. The fact that it passed 417-3, I hope, is a harbinger of how the other bill that comes out of that committee is going to go forward, and that's the transportation bill, which is so important for folks like us, you know, given the fact that we have 7,000 roads and bridges that need work. We've got a farm bill that needs to get done. I think we're in the final phase now. We should be able to get it in a matter of weeks. So I think that's where our focus should be, on service. And, you know, that means leadership on both sides needs to do better.
So have the Republicans, for want of a better term, based on how bloody they are in terms of the polls and everything, learned a lesson here?
Well, look, I'd hope leadership on both sides learn lessons, certainly our side as well, that it's our responsibility to have a functioning government. And, you know, that certainly means for the president that he has to sit down and work with us. And that's a minimal requirement, that we sit down, that we work out our differences, and that we enact policies that are in the best interest of our constituents.
So for you to survive politically, do you have to say, you know, I mean, I don't see what you do. I mean, on the one hand, if you say, I'm not going to vote for the speaker the next time because he was intransigent on this, then you're literally opening the door for the more right-wing guys.
Well, I think what we need to do is not be focused on ourselves. That's part of the issue that we're having down there is, and I'm telling you, as a guy who spent 29 years in uniform, our first responsibility is service. Is service to our constituents. It's not what's in the best interests of me. It's in what's in the best interests of my constituents. I think if everyone down there did that, two things would be the case. One is we'd be more functional. We would actually get more stuff done. And two is Congress would be held in higher regard.
Chris, thanks so much for coming in and joining us. I always have fun. And you're one of the guys who comes in here and sits eyeball to eyeball. And I love that. And I appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan. God bless all the listeners out there.